The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I mean, a team that had no first-round pick, it's hard for me to say that they hit it out of the park, but I thought they did a good job of filling needs, specifically with those first two picks. I wasn't mad at either pick. I mean, I knew both edge rush and defensive tackle were both needs. I didn't think that that would be their first two picks, but that's the way they went, and I think they got guys that I thought were at least solid at both those positions.
Some other Texans news today that I found a little surprising. They cut Tayshaun Gibson.
I'm not surprised because they've got 432 safeties on the team.
Yeah, but I thought he played pretty well for them and did something that they've never done. He covered tight ends.
Yeah.
I don't know that these other cats can do that. And I guess if you've decided he's not going to be a starter, then you probably don't keep him because he's not going to play special teams. But maybe Justin's going to talk him into signing or his brother. I don't know. But I thought that was a little surprising.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you miss the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. We've been sports heavy because there was actual, well, sports-related stuff over the weekend. So lots of draft. And if you missed it, all available on podcastarena.com. And a couple people who missed my email address, if you want it, it's faour975@gmail.com. So just shoot me an email. Hey, I have a little breaking news.
Okay.
If you'd like.
I have it. Thank you.
On very good authority that the strip clubs are going to be reopening this weekend.
That seems too soon.
I agree. But for people who are into that kind of thing, I have been told that's going to happen.
Okay.
So,
well.
just a source close to the situation.
All right.
So, not for me, but... You know, I think a lot of people who may want to do that. I'm going to err on the side of caution for a while until this thing, until we see how the reaction goes to it. Because, you know, there's no reason right now to do some of this stuff. When they open the bars again, that's when I'll be interested. But
yeah, I'm in no rush to get out to the bars, to be honest.
I mean,
I love that I can go to a bar now or a brewery and I can just say, oh, this bar has a beer I want on tap. I can just say, hey, put me one in a can and I'll take it home and drink it at home. That's amazing.
Yeah, I like that too. I've been enjoying that and haven't taken enough advantage of it really. But I'll be honest, I'm not going to go as much as I used to. I mean, I think once a week or every 2 weeks, maybe, as long as I can keep buying and taking it out,
yeah,
which I hope they'll let us keep doing, then that works fine for me. I can come home and do it. And
you know,
it's all
listen,
good.
If you drink liquor, it's expensive to go to Specs and buy good booze. But if you drink liquor at bars, it's like three times as expensive.
Yeah. Like I actually made a Specs run today and picked up a couple bottles of vodka for, you know, under $50, and you know that's five or six drinks at most bars.
See, that's like what I tell my wife. I've been on a mezcal kick lately, and
yeah.
Mezcal's not cheap. I mean, it's like $60 a bottle. But
yeah,
I tell her, listen, if I were to buy, I could get for $60, I could probably get four shots at a bar because if a bar is upscale enough to have quality mezcal. It's probably $15 a shot. And then
yeah.
and then I'm tipping on top of that, it's like, it's almost a value to buy it. I mean, and let's just say that I did that over the course of, you know, I got a pour of mezcal every 2 weeks. This bottle of mezcal that I got is going to last me more than you know, 2 months. I promise I'm not just going to drain it. And well, and then of course it's like, well, why'd you have to buy two? And you know, that's a different right. conversation. But
you just want to take one trip.
Yeah, you're still saving money long-term, easily.
Well, I have some odds for you after the draft.
All right.
If you would like to tell me where you see some value, would you like to start with Offensive Rookie of the Year?
I mean, obviously, I think it's going to come down to one of these quarterbacks, and we know for a fact that – Joe Burrow's I assume Joe Burrow is going to be playing day one. The others I'm not as sure on. So I guess I'll say Joe Burrow is your favorite.
Joe Burrow is a significant favorite at plus 250.
Okay.
Which means I think there's some value as you get down the board here. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is second choice at plus 600. Doesn't really shock me going to Kansas
he's.
City.
I mean, he's going to be a key piece in a fantastic offense. So it does make sense.
Jonathan Taylor is your third choice at plus 900.
That seems. I mean, I guess it depends on. I'll say this: the Colts haven't had a strong running game. It seems like in forever. So maybe they think that that's what's been holding them back. Maybe they'll go run heavy. I don't know. I'm going to go no value there.
Yeah, I don't know that he's better than Marlon Mack. I mean, right. I think it's been pretty good for them. At plus 1,000, Tua Tagovailoa.
That seems kind of value-y to me.
Yeah, I
does
think
it
so
not?
Too.
No, if he does start week one, I mean, why not?
I think the Dolphins will be better than the Bengals, too.
I do, too. And you're giving me four times as good of odds?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, there's way more value in Tua than Joe Burrow.
I thought you'd like that one. DeAndre Swift, plus 1,200.
You know, I keep hearing that guy's name. And I'll be honest, and I like DeAndre Swift. I wasn't sure why they made that pick, because Kerryon Johnson, when he's been healthy and on the field, has been really good. And yeah. I think that the Lions' success with Kerryon Johnson, I think they're pretty well correlated. He had a rough finish to the season last year, but I still think that's a pretty damn good player. So I think that there's at a minimum a timeshare there, so I'm going to say no value on DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I feel like you're betting on Johnson to be hurt and Swift to be good.
And that team is always going to pass before they run. As long as Matt Stafford's there, they're going to chuck the ball around.
Jerry Jeudy, plus 1,200.
I don't hate those odds. I think he instantly is going to be an impact guy. But again, I don't love his quarterback, so that one's tough.
Well, I would almost be willing to take one of the next four in this.
Okay, you still haven't said the guy that's probably going to be my favorite. Actually, I've got two guys that I could say will probably be my favorites.
All right. Well, I can almost assure you that they are in this next four group, unless I'm just completely dumb.
I've got a long shot one that I'm thinking.
All right. CD Lamb plus 1,400.
That one makes sense. It's not one of the ones that I had in mind, but it does make sense. He's going to be plugged in as the number two wide receiver in a pretty good offense across from an established number one.
Justin Herbert, plus 1,400.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that one. J.K. Dobbins, plus 1,600.
He's another one. I like him a lot, but my concern is, what's his workload going to be?
Yeah, see, I think
he's probably going to be third on the team in carries behind Lamar and Mark Ingram.
Yeah, although I think by season's end, he's getting more carries than Mark Ingram.
Oh, I don't. I think the Ravens love Mark Ingram. I think they love what he does in blocking. I think they're in love with that guy.
Well, I also think this guy is better than him long term.
Okay.
Henry Ruggs plus 1800.
Henry Ruggs is one of the guys I was thinking, and I think he's going to be an instant impact guy. And that's a guy everybody's looking for now, a Tyreek Hill, a guy that can blow the top off a defense, and he's certainly that. The fact that he was the first wide receiver taken off the board, and everybody thought, well, is he better than CeeDee Lamb? Is he better than Jerry Jeudy? I don't know, but I do know that he is a hell of a lot faster than both those guys. And when you have a guy like that with that weapon, boy, it can change the look of your offense. And the Raiders specifically know in that division, you got to score points. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the Raiders and the Broncos went so wide receiver heavy, because they know they got to keep up. Like building your defense now isn't going to win that division. You have to put an offense out there that can keep up in a track meet with Kansas City.
All right, so who's your other long shot? I'm pretty sure I can guess it, but
my other long shot is Jalen Reagor, and I'm not crazy about him as a player, but I do think that he's going to be out on the field constantly, and he's got a quarterback who I think can put up some big numbers. I think he's a guy, and I've got an even longer shot after you tell me the odds on Reagor.
2,800.
That's pretty good. I don't mind that.
Same as Justin Jefferson, by the way.
Okay. The other guy I like, who's probably even longer odds, is Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I knew you were going to mention him. He's plus 3,300.
The 49ers, I like a lot. I like how the 49ers weekend went. I've said this before. I think at every position but quarterback, I don't know if there's a roster I would take over the 49ers. And my big concern is I'm not in love with Garoppolo. I don't like him throwing the deep ball. So what do? They get rid of Marquise Goodwin, who if you don't throw the deep ball well, then what's the use of having that guy? They bring in a left tackle relative on the cheap. I mean, obviously they'll have to pay him if they want to keep him long term, but they bring him in on the cheap, and they get a wide receiver in Brandon Ayuk, who is probably better after the catch than almost any of the wide receivers that got drafted, besides maybe Ruggs, who is going to, as soon as he catches the ball, he might as well be a punt returner. But Brandon Ayuk, you don't have to have deep routes. Get it to him intermediately and let him work. I thought it was a perfect fit for San Francisco, and based on what they have offensively, I think he's a guy that steps right in immediately and has an impact.
All right, your defensive rookie of the year. Well, we can get to that when we come back. It's already
okay.
End of the segment.
But, did you say I have? Do we have something here, Aaron? Okay, I got to tell you about Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, and it is a great time to have Allstate out at your house. First of all, they've got safety measures in place to make sure that you and their employees are taken care of. They're going the extra mile when it comes to that, and it's a great time because it's about to get real hot. And if you've got windows, you've got siding that's old and worn out, you are not going to be energy efficient. That means money's leaking out your window every day. And right now, the spring special, no payments for 2 years. Save $2,500 off siding. You save 30% off all window packages. And you're going to save money on your bill. So you don't pay for 2 years while you're saving that money. And then when things are back to normal, that's when you pay for the windows. That's when you pay for the siding. And you've been saving 40% on your energy bills. You cannot beat those numbers. Family-owned and operated for over four generations. They're the kind of business you want to work with. For the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, 713-780-3776. And just one more thing about the book, if you want it. Like I said, just email me and say I want the book, and I'll give you the pay information, but you don't have to pay if you can't afford it right now. There's a couple people have actually paid for people who couldn't, so I'm more than happy to give it away. I really am, just so people have something to read. And I'm glad people are reading again, and I think you'll like it. All right, so your defensive rookie is, I think, pretty obvious, Chase Young.
But well, what, is he supposed to be good or something?
There might be some value here, AJ, plus 400.
It's not a bad number.
No, no, it's not. Isaiah Simmons at plus 1,000.
Okay, and you know I like him.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's going to be really good. Kenneth Murray plus 1,400.
Okay.
Patrick Queen plus 1,400.
I like him too, man, but just especially because of where he landed.
Yeah, yeah. AJ Epinesa plus 2,000.
Let's hope so.
Jeff Okuda plus 2,000.
Okay.
Xavier McKinney plus 2,200. Anybody else you're curious about here?
No. Xavier McKinney's a good name, though. That's a guy who I could see ended up working out. That wouldn't shock me.
Kalavon Chasen is plus 2,800, in case you're curious about him. Scrolling down the list to find your Texans, and none of them are on here. So,
yeah, well, I mean, listen, let's face it, a defensive tackle probably right. Not going to show up on the list, okay?
No, but a lot of guys that were drafted behind your third-round pick are on here, including Bradley Anae of the Cowboys at plus 5,000.
Okay. So,
just Grant Delpit plus 2,500 do anything for you?
No.
Yeah, I think, man, you talk about LSU, every single offensive player from that team that was eligible was either drafted or signed as an undrafted free agent.
It's almost unbelievable. I mean, what a year for them. And obviously, they were great on the field. That's not like a shock. That's not it's not breaking news. But how are they going to be competitive next year? I mean, when you think about losing everything that they lost, and I'm not saying they won't be, but I'm just saying on paper it seems like it'd be impossible. Anybody else? Well, I guess. I mean, Alabama's had years where they got a lot of guys drafted, but not like this. I mean, not so many key guys. That just seems like it's going to be difficult to overcome.
Well,
and losing their offensive guy. I mean,
yeah. Not to mention a first round with your quarterback, a receiver, and a running back all go.
Yeah, first time that's ever happened, line. I think.
Yeah, and your entire offensive line. Not to mention the guys on defense. I mean.
And lucky for them, their receivers were too young, or they'd be gone too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, your defensive player of the year, and at plus 700, your favorite is Aaron Donald.
Shocker. He's the best offensive player in the game.
Yeah. Nicholas Bosa plus 900.
Okay. Don't hate it.
J.J. Watt plus 1,100.
No value there.
Exact same numbers as T.J. Watt, by the way.
Oh.
Think they were having fun with that?
I don't know, but I'm not investing that in either.
Yeah. Khalil Mack plus 1,200.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I think he's still playing at a higher level than some of those other guys you mentioned, but where he's at from a team standpoint, it makes it tough.
Stephon Gilmore plus 1,600.
No.
Chandler Jones plus 1,800.
That's good value.
I like that, yeah. Here's some other interesting one. Derwin James plus 2,000.
Okay.
Joey Bosa plus 2,000.
That's not bad value either.
No.
Based on what we saw last year, if he continues to improve.
Yeah, if he just stays healthy, I think he's in that conversation. Von Miller plus 2,000.
Okay.
and DeMarcus Lawrence plus 2,200.
All right. Not a bad list.
No. Miles Garrett plus 2,500. I just kind of feel like it's the Browns.
Yeah, that's the way I feel, too. Like, that's what you have to ask. Are the Browns really going to have a great defense? I don't know. It's it's just hard for me to picture.
And Jadeveon Clowney, as of now, unsigned, plus 2,800.
All right.
So those are your key numbers. Just a little gambling for you for the NFL. And, I thought the Rookie of the Year ones were the more interesting ones because those were guys that just got drafted, and now we know where they're going to be. So there's a couple of offensive rookies that I wouldn't touch. Jordan Love, plus 3,300.
Zero chance. Yeah. We haven't really talked about that. I mean, I'm sure everybody thought it was stupid when the Packers did this the first time. But knowing what we know now, they made the right call. Is it possible that that's where we're at again? Or is it just there's still more left in the Aaron Rodgers tank and the Packers blew this?
Well, I think before you were talking about a guy who was in the conversation for number one overall pick who slides into the 20s.
Right.
And so I thought even then it's like, well, yeah, you got Brett Favre, but he's getting up there. I think maybe that Aaron Rodgers thinks he can play longer than they think he can play.
Right.
Which is probably fair. But, I don't really like the move. I mean, I don't hate the idea of Jordan Love getting a chance to develop behind him, and then maybe you flip him later. I don't know that you'll get the value that you used on that draft pick.
Right.
But I think that's probably what it is. I think they're just at the point where maybe they don't think Aaron Rodgers has as much left as Aaron Rodgers does. And that being the case, I think Jordan Love's a good guy to sit there and let him learn. And maybe it is a situation where 2 years from now, although I still think they were close enough last year, they should have gotten guys to help make a run this year.
Well, and then their second pick is a running back. And it seems like the Packers are kind of settling in at running back. So I don't know what their plan is. And I get, and I've been a guy who said it looks like Aaron Rodgers he's past his peak. And I'm not saying that he's no longer a top-level quarterback. I think he's still much better than most quarterbacks in the league. But I don't think that the best of Aaron Rodgers is yet to come by any stretch. So I get considering looking to the future, but I still think you've got enough left in that tank with Aaron Rodgers that you've got to be playing for now. And using the first pick on a quarterback and the second pick on a running back when it seems like you've had some decent success out of your running backs recently didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and the reality is you didn't draft a wide receiver in a draft that was full of them.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make a ton of sense to me either. So they were one of the two teams that I looked at and just go, what are you doing? It just doesn't make a ton of sense here. And I think I don't know what they're doing there, but they were close enough last year that I think they should have been all in for one more season with Rodgers, and then you start worrying about replacing him.
Yep.
And there's no guarantee Jordan Love's going to be a good quarterback.
Nope. But, I mean, there was no guarantee Aaron Rodgers was either.
No. Well, I don't think anybody expected him to become what he did, but I think he was certainly higher regarded coming out of college than Jordan Love. And somebody asked, well, you liked it when the Chiefs did it with Mahomes. That was a totally different situation because the Chiefs were kind of at a crest with Alex Smith. And
let's not act like Alex Smith was or ever has been Aaron Rodgers.
No. Despite being
that's a different conversation completely. And Patrick Mahomes, I mean, clearly it was a higher risk, a higher ceiling guy. But I don't know that anybody thinks Jordan Love has the ceiling to be, like, because he doesn't have the physical tools that Patrick Mahomes has. So there's no reason for me to think that he has any chance of turning into something like that.
All right, let's take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN. 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Lex asks, I'm sure I missed the Dolphins draft pick talk. What are your guys' thoughts on their final draft? I like what they did. They needed offensive line help. They got that. Obviously, they got Tua, who I think I still think is the best potential quarterback in this draft. The other move that they made that was kind of under the radar was picking up Matt Breida for a fifth-round pick. I think that's a nice pickup for them.
Yeah, I like actually what the Dolphins ended up doing. And, you know, the fact that, especially because you didn't have to move up. And I thought if the Dolphins were going to get him, somebody was going to force them to move up and get him. And the fact that they didn't do that, to me, makes it a bigger win because they just used the fifth pick on the guy. And if he ends up being what I think he can be, it's going to be a coup. I said this before the draft. He's a super high – he's much like Patrick Mahomes. I think he's got a very high ceiling. I think he also has some serious bust potential. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, clearly, it worked out. But
right.
There was the potential because players that had come out of the system that Patrick Mahomes came out of had literally never succeeded in the NFL. So there was certainly bust potential on him. Tua, I think his bust potential is more tied to his health. And, you know, if he can't stay healthy, then obviously he busts out of the league. That'd be a disaster for the Dolphins. But it'd be less of a disaster than if they'd had to give up a future first-round pick to move up two spots and get him.
Yeah, I like that they stayed where they were, and they still wound up with their three first-round picks and actually picked up some more. So I like what the Dolphins did. I think they're an interesting team, especially if Tua's out there relatively early in the season. Lamont said we've seen the Patriots do this exact same thing. I don't think it's as wild as people are making it out to be. The only logical argument I can see is there was more beef to get in this draft. The difference
was... Well, the Patriots never took a quarterback in the first round.
Right. And, I mean, Garoppolo was a second-round pick. And it seemed like there were some needs there and some good players that could have helped the Packers win next year. So... And Peasy says, is there a more interesting trio of receivers than the Cowboys have by adding Lamb? Could they have a trio of 1,000-yard receivers that's only happened five times, considering Cobb went for 829 as a third? Yeah, the only reason why I wouldn't take the bet on that is if the Cowboys are going to be as good as I think they are, they're still going to be a team that runs the ball a lot more than they have to pass.
Yeah, I agree.
And having those guys will be great, and I think you'll have games where I do think CeeDee Lamb is going to be a huge addition for them. And with Gallup and Cooper, they already had two pretty good receivers. But I think if the Cowboys are going to be the team that they can be, it's going to be because of Ezekiel Elliott. And I think it's almost a bonus to have a guy like that. But if they're only going to wind up having that many yards if the Cowboys are trailing a lot and having to pass.
Yep.
And I just don't see that. I think they're going to, you know, for them to be really good next year, they're going to have to be very Titans-like and dominate on the ground and use that to set up the pass and make some big plays that way. And if they do that, I think I like the Cowboys a lot next year. I really do. My only question remains is Prescott good enough to carry them all the way? I mean, I think the other pieces are there. I really do.
Yeah, they've improved at coach. You know, that's a team that's set to succeed, although losing some continuity off the offensive line, that could be big.
Yeah, I know they drafted another Wisconsin center, but he ain't going to be Travis Frederick.
Nope.
And center is an underrated position, man. You Yeah, it's one of those where if you don't notice it if you've got a good one, but boy, you notice it if you got a guy who's not that good. And so that's a little bit of a concern. But overall, man, I love what this team's done. They're going to miss Byron Jones in the secondary. I think that's I don't really think there was a replacement out there.
Well, and that's sort of the thing. When you look at, did the Cowboys get value with CeeDee Lamb? The easy answer is yes. That, you know, they got a guy that they probably didn't expect would be there when they were on the board. On that same note, by taking him, they basically said, "Well, we're gonna add to a strength rather than fix a hole," and that is gonna. I think if there is a downside to the Cowboys' draft, is it's that they didn't fill that hole.
Well, I think maybe they did. They got Trevon Diggs in the second round.
That's if Diggs is what we think he can be. You're right. Well, I actually figured they would have. And I worry less about Diggs. Maybe the Reggie Robinson kid is better than I think he is. And I wish I would have asked Lance about him because they need multiple guys. But I'm with you. I love Trevon Diggs. And I actually love Neville Gallimore, the other defensive player that they took. So I like what they did. I just expected them to address cornerback. I figured it'd be two of their first three picks. I guess it ends up being two of their first four. It's not that big of a deal. But, yeah, I thought that was the first thing that they'd jump out and do.
Well, and to me, it just makes the Lamb pick look better because
they were able to still get a guy that had maybe a first-round grade.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been there at 51.
I agree.
And he falls into their laps, and I think that obviously makes the draft look so much better. And I watch Reggie Robinson play a lot because I watch a lot of AAC football. And, I think potential's there, but I don't think he looks more to me like he'll wind up being a special teams kind of
who's this?
Defensive back, Reggie Robinson.
Well, the problem is if they lose Awuzie and they lose Jordan Lewis, who are both on the end of their rookie deals, then they're going to need Reggie Robinson to be a player. That's why I thought they'd address it early. When I say early, I meant round one. But because the Cowboys got a guy that, hell, would you have laughed at the Cowboys had they taken Diggs at 17? I don't think
no.
I would have laughed.
No.
So they get a guy that I wouldn't have faulted them for taking in the first round, in the second round, and then they get a guy that in the first round that I thought would be gone in the top 10, and then in the third round in Gallimore, they get a guy that I was looking at as a guy that maybe the Texans would take with their first pick.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the Cowboys really could have done better.
Well, and I also like Bradley and I a lot in the fifth round.
I do too.
And that's another guy who can step in and be a rotation guy next year. So,
and anybody from James Madison has to be a player. I don't know, I didn't see any of Ben DiNucci's tape this year, but if you play Jimmy Madd, you're a baller.
Oh, boy. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And Tyler said the Cowboys could always sign Gibson now that he's out there. I think there's that'd be a decent pickup for him. I mean, I like that guy. I'm not quite sure what the Texans didn't see in him. But
I think it's just a numbers game, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they do have a ton of safeties on this roster.
Well, but now there's a report out that they're interested in Eric Reed.
Well, yeah, I'm not surprised at that. But ask yourself this. Are the Texans going to take a kneeler?
No, they already got one.
Well, I guess that's true. Yeah, maybe
you got Kenny Stills.
Now you're going to have two full kneelers. Well, but I've heard they're trying to move Kenny Stills.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know why. I mean, you're
I don't
really
either.
Trusting Will Fuller.
Yeah,
and
it, like it doesn't seem like everything that's going to happen this year is based on Will Fuller staying healthy. Isn't that terrifying?
Yeah, it is, and I think trading Stills would be a mistake because I don't trust that. And if you go out there and your receivers are Brandon Cooks and Cobb and Stills, you're still pretty good.
Yep.
I mean, you don't have a DeAndre Hopkins, but that's still a pretty damn good group, and that's not even counting on Will Fuller. So I think I'd hold on to him unless this kid they drafted late turns out to be way better than expected. But that's not why they're going to they did like the guy. I mean, I think they still do. It's just a $7 million cap hit for what's going to be your fourth receiver that wouldn't cost you anything to get rid of.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and that I think only would come into play if they wound up signing Watson to an extension now, which, you know, but if Eric Reed, they wound up signing him, I wouldn't bitch about that. I mean, be kind of cool to have the brothers both back there.
Yep.
All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3. We only got one. Why am I giving out the number? We only have one segment left.
That's it, dude.
What the hell? So, CJ brings up that safety special teams ace. They just signed Michael Thomas, also in the deals for the anthem.
Oh, boy.
So
they got a whole squad of them now. Whole squad of kneelers.
Yeah, I think that's a thing of the past as far as not wanting kneelers. All right. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. One last segment to go. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And that offspring there reminds me, if you haven't watched the video they did for Here Kitty Kitty, it is probably better to be stoned when you watch it. But it is freaking weird and hilarious, and, you know, they're the heroes we need right now, AJ. So the song itself it sounds really good, but the video makes it. You got a tiger doing skate tricks and two dancing cats that are just weird. It's worth checking out. Before we move on to the Dumbass Report, the guy was asking about, is there a more intriguing trio of receivers? Can I throw a long shot in there for you of intriguing trios?
Randall Cobb, Brandon Cooks, and Will Fuller.
How about Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and KJ Hamler?
Well, what makes them less appealing? The guy
Drew
throwing Locke. The football, yeah.
And probably the coach, but that's the thing. That's three pretty good ones there, potentially.
Potentially.
Obviously, you don't know. Yeah, you don't know about any of them, even Jeudy. But all right, let's do a dumbass report.
All right, let's start with a New York City woman was arrested for allegedly stealing a marked New York NYPD cop car in Harlem on Saturday night. Cassie Moses, 28 years old, is accused of swiping the car while it was parked at the corner of East 132nd and Madison Avenue at 11:15. The officer had been using the car, was responding to a foot pursuit in the area, and it inadvertently dropped the car's keys when he got out of the vehicle. Moses found the keys, took the car for a drive, striking another NYPD vehicle driven up by a captain, before being caught in traffic during a pandemic when no one's allowed on the road.
Dumbass!
That's some dumb luck. But maybe not surprising it happened to Miss Moses. She has 12 prior arrests, and she was charged with grand larceny auto, criminal possession of stolen property, and reckless endangerment. Not wise, guys. Well, damn the luck, right? Like, the one time when the everybody's supposed to be off the road, you get caught in a traffic jam.
Yeah, that's just...
Let's go to North Carolina, where a man... has been arrested. Ronnie Keith Johnson, who sounds like like he was in a band in the 70s or 80s.
Or a serial killer.
Maybe.
Three names.
Is charged with felony negligent child abuse, inflicting serious physical injury. He had a child who had apparently had too much alcohol. The child had a blood alcohol level of 0.17, which is a lot for a grown adult. and a really lot for a baby, a three-month-old baby.
Guys.
And I guess he was like, man, this baby is pretty out of it. I better give it some cocaine. And he gave it cocaine.
Because I don't give a shit.
It wasn't his baby. He was living with the child's parents at the time, which I don't know who's dumber, the guy giving alcohol and cocaine to the baby or the couple who let a guy like that live in their house while they had a baby. I think they both get the same dumbass moniker here. Either way, the baby is alive and well, luckily. The lady from Jacksonville, Wendy Diaz, actually, it was in North Miami, but she's born in North Miami, but she's a Jacksonviller now. Apparently, she's been called a moron because she wanted to open up all the beaches. And she's come out and said, hey, I want you guys to know I'm not a moron. I think there are some things that y'all just don't understand. Miami is where y'all got the virus because down in Miami, you got all them Mexicans and they're drinking all that Corona beer. We do not drink Corona beer here in the city of Jacksonville. We drink Natural Light. Why do we drink Natural Light? Because it's natural and because it's light. And we don't drink in them fancy bottles. I'm going to go with, I don't know if the woman was a parody all along, but I think she thought maybe it was a joke at first, but it went viral. And, yeah, now she's having to defend that she's not a dumbass, even though we pretty much know, she is. In London, they're considering reopening pubs as long as the people agree to socially distance themselves. Again, I don't want this to become political. You know who's the worst at social distancing? Drunk people. Like, it's difficult enough in a bar to stay away from people when you're sober. Drunk people don't do anything but hug and fight. I think it's a bad, like, that shouldn't be the first thing that opens up bars. I think that's not where you start.
Especially English pubs. Because
yes.
We went to a bunch of those when we're there. There's not a lot of room there.
No, there's no space in them.
Yeah, maybe being able to have five people in the place.
And finally, in Orange County, Florida, a man was arrested Sunday after a body was found inside a suitcase. He's charged with second-degree murder, abuse of a dead body, and tampering with physical evidence. The body of Garland Ross was found inside James White's suitcase. Investigators believe Ross was murdered on March 28th. Family members of Ross told police they hadn't heard from him, checked his apartment, and from him stating he was not home and his two vehicles were also missing. April 1st, Sheriff's Office told Orlando police they found a dead body in the area of Lake Underhill Road, identified as Ross. Police said they arrested two other suspects, Julie Felber and Timothy Crandall. They've been charged an accessory after the fact because of tampering with physical evidence. But the guy used his own suitcase that was apparently easily traced back to him. This is not how you get rid of bodies. You don't, like, leave your luggage tag on your suitcase when you stuff
Dumbass.
A body in it. Not wise guys.
And where was this at again?
Florida.
You know what there's a lot of in Florida? Like Everglades.
Yeah. Just roll them into
ocean.
A swamp.
Yeah, jeez.
And that's dumbass report, Fred.
All right. Just a quick update that Greg Abbott gave the theaters the option to reopen starting May 1st. But according to AMC... not going to happen because they really don't have anything to show.
Well, that's probably a good idea. There's
because,
no point taking the risk if you can't make any money doing it.
Yeah, they said first it'd be difficult to do the 25% thing, but more importantly, all the summer blockbusters have been pushed back to next year. So how much? So most of them say they're not going to open until July 17th when Christopher Nolan's Tenet comes out. Because,
okay.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. What are you going to show now? I mean, stuff from 4 months ago?
Like, yeah, I guess. Stuff that we've already
because
been watching on demand.
Right. Almost everything's been available on demand, right? I mean, I don't think there's anything that hasn't gotten there yet. So, yeah, that they'll have the option, but don't expect it to happen. All right. Well, that was an easy one. We'll have to, I think we'll have to work a little harder the rest of the week now since we no longer have draft stuff to do. Although I'm sure the Texans will keep giving us stuff to talk about. That seems to be their MO.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
All right. Well, I got to get to some TV stuff tomorrow that I watched this weekend that we didn't get to today. All right. Well, great job, Hoffman. Great job, Aaron, as always. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. Appreciate you. Hope you enjoyed all the draft talk. We'll get to some more fun stuff tomorrow. Until then, stay Rona free, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.